Good morning, First Alliance. Thank you so much for having me. I love in that video when Bao was sharing what she was saying about how it's worth it. She's not talking about easy things being worth it. Like, have you ever eaten a piece of like big chocolate cake, all the icing? I love icing. You eat that whole corner of the cake that's left over, and like in that moment, it's like, oh yeah, so good. And then afterwards, that wonderful piece of cake, like an hour later, I'm like, oh, that was not worth it. Easy things are often not worth it, but hard things are worth it. I had the privilege of sitting in your annual meeting at 9 o'clock, and it was really cool to hear the challenges that First Alliance is going in through. Not bad things, but life is hard, but as you lean into it, hearing the fruit that is happening because you have leaned into hard things. So for that, I just felt encouraged and wanted to share that. So my name is Kenny Young. I am an international worker with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. That's our fancy word for missionary. Going to places around the world where people don't have access to the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people who have never heard about Jesus. This is my family. They're up in Minnesota. We're on home assignment for the year, so that's 1 year where we have to come back to the States, and we also get to share about what God's doing in Germany. So that's my wife, Carissa, Oliver, Elsie, and Madeline. They're 7, 5, and 2, so second grade, kindergarten, and 2, so just runs around like a crazy person at home. I don't know if that's me that does it or her, the 2-year-old, not my wife. It's like, already sticking my foot in my mouth. But our work in Germany is focused, like Kirk said, on church planting in Northeast Germany. East Germany, it's a stronghold of darkness and oppression. Most people there, they've never heard about Jesus, they don't believe in God, and they walk through life alone, often depressed and without joy. So why do we want to reach lost people, and why are we passionate about church planting? So when my wife and I met, we felt called to be international workers. This is another picture of the kids. So completely forgot about this one. So this one, I've learned that as I've shared about this real quick, these swings were in Germany, and then they're starting to be more and more common here. But my encouragement is, if you know a family with a lot of kids, consider getting these for Christmas or something for them, because it's highly efficient. It's very German. Throw 8 kids on there, 1 push. You're not pushing 8 swings. I love playgrounds in Germany. But we're church planting in East Germany because we're passionate about people who don't know Jesus. Jesus has changed my life as he's changed many of yours. And because of that, we want other people to have that opportunity. In our preparation, we got to take part in a church plant. I grew up in a church that was a lot of people, 1,000 people on Sundays, and so that's what I knew. But we got to take part of a church plant where it was reconciling with the community. There is brokenness in the church. People were, in the true sense of the word, real with one another. And that's something that I experienced, and I wanted to be a part of bringing to people who don't have hope. Jesus commanded his followers to go and make disciples, not just one disciple. Not just someone who's walking alone in life, but disciples who are walking through life as a family together. So, real quick, has anyone ever heard of the game Hide and Seek? Okay, very good. Have you ever played Hide and Seek? Very good. All right, do you know a child who's played in Hide and Seek? Okay, so we're all familiar with the game. It's one of my favorite games, or was one of my favorite games. When I was a kid, we would get together for Thanksgiving at my grandma and grandpa's house. My grandpa was very particular about his things, so I don't know how we didn't get into more trouble breaking things. But we would play for hours and hours, hiding in closets, hiding under the sink, hiding in his crawl space that was very organized. And this passion for hide and seek is something that my kids have also come to love. They'll play for a little while by themselves, and then there's the point where it's like, hey, Daddy, will you play hide-and-seek with us? And I do enjoy playing hide-and-seek. I'll play with them for a little bit, but I am not this short. I'm this tall now, not quite as flexible anymore, so hiding under the sink is not an option for me. So I enjoy playing with them, but there's only like so many times where you can be like behind a curtain and it's like, oh, you can't see me, haha. And there's a point where I'm a parent, I like to pick on my kids, and so I decide, okay, I'm gonna be it, and then I'm gonna play a trick on them. And so it's like, normally they count to 20, and I'm like, keep going past 20, 101, 102, and daddy, come find us. Oh, no, I gotta get to 1,000. Okay, 1,001, 1,002. I don't go that high. That would be cruel. But there's a point where when I'm doing that and kind of picking on them a little bit, where they start to say, daddy, come find us. And that joke that I'm playing becomes not funny anymore. There's a point where you hear panic in their voice. They feel lost. They feel alone. They feel not found. And in the same way, there are so many people, not just Toledo, not just Germany, but all around our world, who are crying out, daddy, come find us. And for those of us who know our Heavenly Father, that's something that we get to be a part of finding those lost people who are crying out for something they don't know, and sharing hope with them and sharing joy with them. The Alliance is committed, as you saw in that video, to going to hard places where the gospel is not present so that those lost people crying out, daddy, will meet their Heavenly Father. And I love being a part of that. So we're serving in East Germany, Northeast Germany, a town called Waren. There's Germany on the map. There's Waren on the map, that little star. It's about 2 hours north of Berlin, an hour south of the Baltic Sea. I absolutely love the town that we get to live in. It's 24,000 people, fairly small, but we're right beside a national park, so we get to, I liked running. I need more time to go running. But I love it because we can go into nature. There's a lake right there. And I'm just so thankful that God has blessed us with a beautiful town. You can go, yeah, so here's a picture of it. There's the lake. And then the next picture as well. Our town is an old European town. There's a church in it, several churches. But these churches are simply church buildings, not a church family. It's a church building where it's a museum. In tourist season, you can pay $2 and climb the tower. It's pretty cool. I recommend it. But if you go there on a Sunday morning, it is dead as a cemetery, which is heartbreaking because of Germany's history, right? We are in Germany. We aren't doing this alone. We have our teammates, as Kirk shared a little bit, the Careys and the McLeans. I believe the Careys were here last year, and you got to hear from them, which is awesome. They are our seasoned teammates, and we love working with them. And the McLeans just finished their language study time and are jumping in, have been since the day they landed, jumping in with church planting as well. Our team is not just focused on church planting. In the middle of the slide there is the logo of the church plant, Internationale Gemeinde Waren, International Community Church of Warren. We also serve through English day camps in our town, English camps in the summer, English classes throughout the week, cooking classes, community groups, youth group, offering alpha courses, serving Ukrainian refugees as best as we can, and leading the church in that. And then also just using our natural interests to get to know people. Like my wife plays soccer. I've learned how to fish. I enjoy running, and so do that with people, not just by myself. It's a lot of work, but it's only possible with our teammates and also with churches like First Alliance who support financially, support through prayer, and have their pastor and his wife as our pastoral care couple. And we are so grateful for that. And so just a side note with Kirk and Heather being our pastoral care couple, thank you for supporting them in that. Thank you for praying for them in that, because we're there without a lot of support. And so having people that are, I think you think he's relatable, maybe? I do. And so we really appreciate that support and that thumbs up that you've given for them to be a part of being a part of what's happening in Germany. So, maybe a question some of you are asking, why Germany? It's something that I've asked myself, because you look at Germany's history. You had Martin Luther. You had beautiful churches. The printing press was invented there. Why? So that you could print more Bibles, so that people could have it to read. You have first world, strong economy, Bayer, Volkswagen, of just a couple of companies, of many, many that are known throughout the world. There's not just economic abundance, but also social affluence. But despite all of these things, Northeast Germany remains one of the least reached pockets of the world because of their history. So if we think about the past century, that's been a century of conflict for Germany. World War I, World War II. In World War II, the church was used as a mouthpiece of propaganda. People through that season were much more quickly ready to swear their allegiance to their nation rather than to God. And that's what the church became. People doubted the church even before the war. When you fast forward to Soviet rule, when the wall was put up and you had East Germany and West Germany, you can go to the slide that has the divide there. East Germans were not allowed to be bold about their faith. It was something that was reserved for. So East Germans and West Germans had specific types of conversations. You had conversations you had outside of the house and conversations you had inside the house. Inside the house would include maybe God, maybe the Bible. Outside the house, you would never do that. Why? Because if you did, you could easily lose your job. You could be sent to prison. Someone could disappear because they are sent to prison, and you would never see them again. It's a controlled economy, so if washing machines show up, you might not get a washing machine just because you're a Christian. We have friends where they were Christians during this time, and because of that, their family was not allowed to get to the job they wanted, not allowed to choose their path. They were forced to do exactly what they were told, purely because they believed God exists. So this map shows the divide where it's colored for dramatic effect, yeah, but the West, a lot of people are willing to still say they believe in God, and so that's the red and the blue. And then that black part is showing over 80% in a lot of East Germany, and in our region, over 90% of people say that no God exists. And so that's like no God, so no higher power. You're born, you live, you die, and that's it. There's no higher power, there's nothing to believe in, there's nothing to hope in, and that's really sad. And so that's why we're there. There was one survey, too. This is just blows my mind because it's my age bracket. There was one survey recently taken, and they found no one between the age of 18 and 35 who believes in God. No one in this entire survey. And that's heartbreaking, and something that as I look around at my friends in VAR, and I think, man, I just really hope that those of you who say he doesn't exist do change your mind and that God softens your heart. So we, the Alliance, we get to be a part of being a light in spiritually dark places. We get to be a part of sharing hope in places that are steeped in this darkness, despair, and depression. In places where the soil is really hard and it takes time to till that soil, to water, and to plant seeds. But it's something that can only happen when I, the missionary, the international worker, the sent one, do this with the support of churches like First Alliance, like your district, like other churches around you, sending us, supporting us, praying for us. And I love that it's something that's not just done alone. We are an organization, a body of believers coming together as both churches and sent ones working together. So today we're using the verses that were read earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. In this passage, Paul is writing, defending his ministry to the Corinthians, and he's looking, talking to them, saying, hey, look, Corinthian church, the gospel got to you first because I went to it. If I had not come to you, you would not have heard this good news. And then your neighbors who are hearing about Jesus, they're hearing because I came. So I came, you heard, now your neighbors heard. And then what about the people beyond you, your surrounding neighborhoods, the next city? He's writing to the Corinthians Because to understand where we are now, it's really helpful to understand our past, where we came from. And to know, understand the vision that we have for the future, it's really helpful to understand the past vision, the past that we've come from. So from this passage, I'm going to look at 3 points, apply them to what we've seen in Varen and how we see God at work, some really cool stories of the first reach, the initial impact, where there's that first touch, the first going in, the first sharing, the reach among, so that broadening impact where, okay, the first couple of people have heard, and then they start to tell their neighbors, they start to tell their friends, and then those friends catch on, and so then that's where we have the regional, the reach beyond, the regional impact, and a global impact. So Paul writes in verses 13 and 14, "We, however, we will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. We are not going too far in our boasting as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ." So Paul's saying, I wouldn't be saying I came to you with the gospel if I didn't. The reality is that I did bring it to you, so you've heard, and so now you can share it. So we need to go, we need to take faith-filled risks to reach our neighbors, to reach other people. Why? The gospel will not go further unless we take faith-filled risks, unless we feel uncomfortable, unless we feel challenged. Lost people won't know Jesus if we don't take those risks. So just as Paul went to the Corinthians, the Alliance is sending people to places where Jesus is not known. So in 2010, the Alliance first went in the late 90s, first the Alliance went to Berlin after the wall fell. They saw it as a great opportunity. The vision has always been, or started as, to reach East Germany. So in 2012, the Carries were sent from Berlin to Varen. Varen's a small town, I already said that. Think about small towns, though. They're not excited about outsiders. And so the Carries, I don't know exactly how I would have answered this question. When they first got there, they were asked, "Are you a cult?" Have you ever been asked that? Maybe you have, but that was something that they had to answer. And when you're asked that, you're faced with the question of, okay, strategically, like, how do I share the gospel? Like, I know that this is true, but there is so much skepticism I'm being met with. We can look at Jesus and live by his example. We put the needs of other people before the needs of ourselves. We can serve them. We can speak truth. And so for us, one of those things has been English camps. English, if you haven't noticed, I speak English. And it's a tool that we're naturally able to use and to serve our community. To say, hey, we're not just here for a bait and catch type of thing. We're not just here to sell you something, but we want to serve you. We want to love you. And so English Day Camp started in 2014. This is actually really cool. So 10 years ago, this week, English Day Camp started. English Day Camp is starting tomorrow for the, not 10th year, there were a couple years of pause because of the pandemic, but 10 years ago it started, and it's something that is so anticipated. There's only 60 kids that can come, but just because of facilities, and every year, this year, there's a waiting list of 18 kids, just because parents love it, they trust us, and it's really cool, so we get to serve the community. Now, 60 kids is a lot of kids. You need workers to help serve, put this camp on. So we have a short-term team from the States come, from a church, and we have local Germans who are helping us. This is a unique camp because it's done with public schools, so we can't have gospel-focused curriculum, we can't use the Bible in it. But when you are putting on a camp where you have a dozen to a dozen and a half adult German volunteers, you have to plan with them ahead of time. You have to plan with them during the week. You get to hang out with them in the evenings. And every year, English Camp has had a couple of stories because we, the international worker, we get to work with the German locals who don't believe in God, and the American team from a church, they get to work with them. And this past year is no exception to that, and just an example of how living life with other people can be a testimony to how God cares for people, how God loves them, and the love that Jesus has for them. So every day at camp, you start with a meeting. My wife was in charge of it, and she always had someone end the meeting with a short devotional or a couple of verses, and then also end by praying. And so this is where you have probably about a dozen to 18 Germans who don't believe in God in the room. And so someone shares, someone prays, and you move on with the day. That sounds pretty standard for like a VBS or any church meeting. You pray before you get going with the day, right? And for me, sometimes, if I'm being completely honest, I can forget how powerful those daily rhythms, those simple practices are. Each and every one of us in this room can pray. Each and every one of us in this room can talk to God. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, God is with us. But not everyone knows that. So after camp, a friend of ours came up to us, and he just had recently been wrestling with depression, suicidal thoughts, to the extent that he had been in a clinic for 6 weeks to help him level out and get into a better place. God had put him in, allowed him to get to a low, so that at this camp, he came up to us afterwards, and he'd been coming to church. He was a friend of ours, but it was still something that he didn't totally understand, didn't totally grasp. But he came up to us afterwards, and in church, he only observes us, the American teaching or praying or reading from the Bible. But that week, he saw five different people do it. He came up to us and he says, because five different people prayed, five different people read from the Bible, I realized this is also something that I can do. So simple, but life-changing for him. To the extent that every day he was praying, every day before he went to work, he took open the Bible app, would stop in the break room, pray for his shift, pray for his day, be encouraged and challenged through Scripture. And that, those were the first steps. And what's amazing with this friend, Ingo, he started by just a little bit of prayer, knowing God, and his wife was coming to church because she saw it was good for her depressed husband. The kids got a kids program, and so she came, but she texted my wife at one point, and she said, "Hey, Carissa, I'm just coming because it's good for my husband." And you would see her escape to the children's church because she didn't want to be part of the adult discussion. I don't know if you've been to children's church, but still truth is taught there, which is really amazing. And so Katrin was going to children's church, her children were going, and a couple months after she texted, "Hey, this isn't for me," she texted my wife again and said, "Hey, Carissa, I'm starting to see this is something for me." Fast forward to this past October, as this family has been faithfully coming because of that one observation of multiple people praying, multiple people having a relationship with Jesus, this whole family has now committed their lives to Christ, and they are now following Jesus, which is just amazing, because it's not just one person, it is a whole family, and when a whole family's life has changed, they can have a greater impact. And so now his mom, who is skeptical of this little cult of people, she came, doubtful at first, saying, "Oh, I'll just come," and now she's continuing to come. She's hearing truth weekly, and we're praying for her, for their family, for their neighbors, as God continues to change their lives. So you have that initial impact, you've served a community, people are beginning to observe truth, observe a God who can change lives, a God who wants to know them. And as our team served the community, you have people who are encountering Jesus, but you can't do that alone. That's why all of you are here together, not in your own homes, because you want to live life together. And so we decided as a team in March of 2019, now's the time to start a church. So 2 Corinthians 10:15, Paul continues to write, Neither do we go beyond our own limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith, the Corinthians, continues to grow, that our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand. So as the faith of the local Wageners continues to grow, that the people in that community would be influenced by that, that they would see that, that they would see the hope and the joy that those who are following Christ live with. And so a local church is critical to this mission. And so we started meeting in a living room. Next slide. It was super simple. We had breakfast together. We ate together. We had coffee. Kids rolled on the floor while you're trying to talk and have a lesson. It was great. But what was amazing is that it took it out of a stuffy church. This is not a stuffy church. It took it out of that. I'm thinking of that picture earlier where it's a big brick building and cold. It took it out of that environment that's not friendly. You got to watch your words sometimes, you know. But it took it out of that setting that in their mind is very authoritative and put it in their own hands, something that's tangible, something that's normal, and something that they can relate to. We met in the Carrie's living room. It was awesome. March 2019, we had families consistently coming. One man was helping us with even doing some of the worship that we were leading. And then if you fast forward a year from March of 2019, I don't know if you've heard of COVID-19, but it hit the whole world, and Germany was very restrictive, and so we had about 2 years of up and down restrictions, lockdowns, where you had to choose which friends you could hang out with. So that was super challenging. You're sitting there thinking, God, I am here so I can be with people, and now I can't be with people? Like, what are you doing, God? Like, this makes absolutely no sense. But in that season, we felt God continuing to lead us, like, talking about prayer again, continuing to be obedient in prayer, something that's challenging because it means you're sitting there, in your everyday life, just trusting God that He's still at work. What I love about prayer in this season that was very challenging for everyone, all of us had a lot of challenges there, is that as we exited that time of COVID and the pandemic, restrictions lightened, people came back. People were still hungry, and not just the people who had been coming, but other people. And they were curious. They were asking questions. And so we outgrew that living room, thankfully, because of English classes and other offerings in the community, other serving of the community. We had a partnership with a community center. And so we made a more public Sunday brunch church. It was chaotic. We sometimes met, like the picture in the middle. We did a leg, it's called a brick brunch, just like that big game. You can't use certain words, but little bricks that you build things with. We had a brick brunch where we built a Bible story with the bricks, and kids got to participate, adults too, and then just making the Bible real, making it so it's not just a storybook, but something that applies to your everyday life. We were meeting in that community center, and just carrying on as normal with Germans coming, having a time, a message, and sharing in a time of discussion with our German friends. And then in February 2022, we observed Russia invade the Ukraine. We were, as a team, this is a point where it's like, okay, we're very close. We know Germany's going to help refugees. We also know that as followers of Christ, we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so the very short version of it, we worked with people in our town to help find housing for Ukrainians. We worked with people in our town to take food there and back and partner with the church in Warsaw, and just like seeing the God's church, the global church at work, was incredible in this, but helped find housing then for 43 Ukrainians, and then also help try as best as we could to integrate them into the church plan. Because we could find them housing, we could give them food, but they still have souls that need cared for. It was very challenging because they spoke Russian. I do not speak Russian. They didn't speak English or German yet. And so you have two cultures, people in crisis, Germans who have a church family that they love. But it really gave us, and this church family for the Germans, it flipped on its head overnight. But it gave us an opportunity to say, to teach, like, this is not a church just for you. This is a church for everyone. And so with that growth, just felt challenges of a lot of challenges of faith, but also seeing Ukrainian women come to faith and saw some of these Ukrainian women, displaced believers, now in Germany. Their home has literally been destroyed, catching the vision of what's happening in Varen and helping us serve through setup, helping us serve with food, helping us serve in children's church as well. So we left, there's a picture of a new space in May. We signed a lease on a new space because we outgrew that community center. Families wanted more, and so in March next month, we're starting for the first time offering Awana. It's been translated to German, which is just really exciting to have a lot more bold steps into the community where it might feel uncomfortable, but trusting that God is going to work. So, one really cool story with that initial impact, that broadening reach in the community, again, using things that we like. Carissa, my wife, she likes to be with other women. She likes having friends. And she went out, it was International Women's Day 2022. They went, they were starting to figure out, okay, can we, this book club of hers that she's a part of, can we have some new members? So they're sitting at a restaurant. Lady she's never seen before, she's seen her but never met her before, is sitting beside her. And so Claire is sitting beside my wife, Carissa. They start talking, getting to know each other. Claire asks Carissa, hey, what do you do? Carissa talks about the church and how we do stuff with kids. And then Claire's like, oh, that's interesting. Am I allowed to come? Just as a cultural side note, Germans love clubs. And so this is sometimes an interesting thing. People don't assume they can just come to